Again, good morning to the Butler County Commission meeting. We will begin our agenda with our communications, and then we will go into the presentation from the Butler County Children's Services Board. Derek?
First would be approved minutes from the last meeting, a travel and training, hire part-time curator for Butler County Soldiers and Sailors Monument, two care facility personnel actions, under the county engineer, advertise for bids for bridge replacement under contract 7-11, approve agreement for road improvements. Under environmental services, approve Malcolm Perney agreement for sewer master plan amendment 2, approve the extension of public water services to Kyle Station Road realignment, release one-year maintenance bond for water and sewer line extension to Foxborough 2E, OPWC request number 8 for water main improvement 06, approve transfers and appropriations, approve two child daycare contracts under Job and Family Services, and approve amendment to an agreement with Telex Corporation under miscellaneous, advertise for bids for lease of office space, contract 7512, and modify enterprise zone agreement with Pacific Industries USA Incorporated.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. As everyone knows, our colleague Commissioner Fox is still in the hospital and doing well, and we do hope for his speedy recovery and to be able to rejoin us. We will now open up the meeting for the Butler County Children's Services Board for a presentation. And I understand my former colleague from the State House, Bill Seitz, is going to open up the presentation. And want to welcome you, Bill. I've always enjoyed in the State House listening to you get up and speak before the Assembly. I hope this is no different, but hopefully that is. But I do welcome you here to the County Commission, and the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Jolivet. It's a privilege to be in your company again. We certainly did enjoy our time together in the State House, and I'm pleased to see you're doing such a great job on behalf of the citizens of Butler County. Commissioner Furman, it's an honor to be before you. Our best wishes also for Mr. Conklin and for Mr. Fox's speedy recovery. Each of you should have in front of you a book which contains the entirety of our presentation and many appendices. I hope you do have that, and we drop that off early. For the record, my name is Bill Seitz. I'm a partner with Taft, Stettinius, and Hollister Law Firm in Cincinnati. I'm here representing the Butler County Children's Services Board. We are pleased to get this opportunity, late though it is, to present our story. And we are here today to demonstrate with facts why a merger of Children's Services Board with Job and Family Services is not in the best interest of children and families in need in Butler County. We are here today knowing that many have already made up their mind. They have done so because of the death of Marcus Faisal, because of a task force report that is riddled with half-truths and inaccuracies, and because of certain inflammatory comments made at various times by some elected officials who themselves seem to have prejudged the outcome without ever hearing from this board. But we would rather believe that as elected officials of Butler County, you have independent minds and will make them up based on verifiable facts and reliable research. We hope you won't be swayed by political demagoguery and strategies focused on personal gains. We know and hope you will speak for those who are the most vulnerable and hurting, those who rely on you to do the right thing, not the expedient thing. Because of what has been accomplished under this governance structure, having an independent board works. We are fearful that a merger will create a new structure and system that will be less responsive and less able to continue the growth and progress that has been made in the last 3 years. The death of Marcus Faisal was a tragedy. It is natural for the commissioners and the people to want some answers. It is natural to want to know what happened and why. It is natural to want to make some changes and to seek out accountability. But it is not natural to recommend changes that may sound good and look good, but really are not new and really are not doing anything to make children safer. Unfortunately, the process has not been objective, and recommendations have been made based on inaccurate data. Notably, though, Neither the task force nor its consultants ever suggested that the Faisal tragedy could have been averted by the Butler County Children's Services Board, or that a change in its governance structure would have prevented this tragedy. And just as notably, when the State of Ohio Job and Family Services investigated this tragedy, it did not recommend a change in governance in Butler County, nor did it find that the Butler County Children's Services Board failed to comply with any law or regulation applicable to the Faisal case. In fact, ODJFS said, and I quote, "This review found that the agency managed its ongoing work with the family and completed its April 22, 2006 abuse neglect investigation in compliance with state requirements," end quote. Thus, while this tragic case may have been the cause for what brings us here today, it has absolutely nothing to do with whether you should redesignate the Children's Services function to a different department. Our story today will include four very important elements. First, we're going to talk about the strength of the current board structure. The public needs to know what really can be changed and what should be changed. Second, we're going to talk about the performance of board services and programs in the last 3 years. You're going to see facts and figures, not suppositions and opinions. These facts and figures, some of which we're going to talk about and most of which are contained in the appendix, clearly demonstrate that an outstanding job has been done by Jan Heffner and by this board. No matter how you look at these facts, you cannot deny the achievements. You cannot help but be grateful to the board for what it has accomplished. Third, we're going to talk about weaknesses in the task force report that you received. We're going to take a look at some of the most visible comments made by the task force and show you, with facts, what the true story is. You may not like it. You may not want to hear it, but if you are honest and objective, you cannot deny that many of the task force conclusions are inaccurate, and as such, their recommendations are flawed. And fourth, we're going to talk about a vision for the future. This has been an essential ingredient of this board's planning and operational structure ever since Jan Heffner arrived. This vision has been enhanced by recommendations made by ODJFS in its investigation into the Marcus Faisal tragedy. We take no solace from the fact that this investigation found no fault with our actions in this case. We do take to heart making changes that will make things better in the future. As for the strength of the current board structure, we want to demonstrate the positive and important aspects of the current board governance structure. Most observers outside of Children's Services cannot be expected to have a deep understanding of how the system works. Changing how Children's Services is governed will not automatically remove obstacles nor provide solutions to issues inherent in any Children's Services agency. Like all Children's Services agencies, Butler County Children's Services operates with tremendous risk. Their clients can be troubled, despairing, hostile, and unpredictable. We all know that despite the best skill, professionalism, and caution, things can and do go wrong. When crisis occurs, the agency and its leaders are subjected to intense review, and reputations are always at stake. This will not change with a change in governance. Like all Children's Services agencies, Butler County Children's Services has public accountability, but rarely public or client approval. As a public agency, Butler County Children's Services must be accountable, but Children's Services acts to protect children, and rarely are clients glad that our agency has intervened. Because the reality of child abuse and neglect is so horrific, the public's attitude towards parents and even caseworkers ranges from compassion to contempt. This will not change with a change in governance. Like all children's service agencies, Butler County Children's Services is a response organization, much like police and firefighters, because it is impossible to control the number of calls that they receive, and therefore the number of cases that must be worked. Managing caseload sizes is a challenge faced by every response agency. This will not change with a change in governance. To staff an agency even based on anticipated peak caseloads would require a great deal more taxpayer money and would result in inefficient use of that staff during non-peak periods. In a unionized civil service environment, neither the Butler County Children's Services Board nor any successor agency have the staffing flexibility that a private business has. Like all children's service agencies, Butler County Children's Services is heavily regulated. Operations are strictly dictated by the Ohio Revised Code and the Ohio Administrative Code. The Ohio Department of Job and Family Services is the organization legally mandated to oversee local child protection agencies in Ohio. If you don't believe us, just look at Hamilton County. A federal court there monitors and oversees adoption and foster care operations as a result of a lawsuit regarding the violation of these state and federal regulations. And that is an agency where children's services is provided by the local Department of Job and Family Services. Regardless of how the agency is governed, it still must adhere to ODJFS rules and regulations, as well as state and federal law. In fact, merging children's services into Job and Family Services can create more regulatory problems than it solves. Again, look at Hamilton County, where preliminary ODJFS audit findings released last year are that Hamilton County owes the state over $100 million due to alleged commingling of different pots of differently regulated federal money. They tried to put it all under Hamilton County JFS. They tried to create all those efficiencies and cost savings, but at least according to the preliminary audit, they commingled differently regulated pots of different money, and now they're on the hook for big dollars. That wouldn't happen if you kept Butler County Children's Services as a separate agency. Like all children's service agencies, juvenile court reviews, approves, and often dictates Butler County Children's Services actions on individual cases. Juvenile court makes or approves actions in approximately 80% of all the cases. The court is an active partner. It is often hard for parents and the community to realize that it is impossible for the Butler County Children's Services Board to take a course of action that is different from what the court recommends or orders. This will not change with a change in governance. Indeed, it may change for the worse. These are complicated cases with numerous procedural steps, so much so that the Ohio Supreme Court has published bench cards, here's a copy of the book, bench cards, a whole book the Ohio Supreme Court put out, all right, just to give the judges and the magistrates an overview of the twists and turns that are inherent in these cases. I share with you only a one-page flowchart from this book, a one-page flowchart, if you'll indulge me, a one-page flowchart that shows the kinds of procedural complexities that are inherent in these kinds of cases. How is another agency, like Butler County Job and Family Services, that does not regularly deal with these cases, going to get up to speed? And if your answer is that Butler County Job and Family Services would simply retain the current Butler County Children's Services employees for this purpose, then where are the cost savings coming from? The folks in this agency have worked with the juvenile court on a daily basis for years. If you merge them into Butler County JFS, which does not have the same experience in dealing with juvenile court, there will at least be a lead time in them and their top administrative staff getting up to speed on all these kinds of complexities, of which, again, this one-page flowchart is just one page of a very large book. 63% of Butler County Children's Services' total budget comes from the local tax levy. In large part, the services provided by Butler County Children's Services are mandated and, as you know, must be funded by this county. This will not change with a change in governance. If Children's Services becomes a part of Job and Family Services, there are real questions over whether the currently voted levy funds can be used by Butler County Job and Family Services. This is because the 2003 levy specifically earmarked the money for the benefit of the Butler County Children's Services Board. There are real questions over whether the county could place that levy before the voters and call it a renewal or a replacement levy. because the agency that the previous ballot language designated to receive that money would no longer exist. I've discussed this with Roger Gates and urged the prosecutor to seek an attorney general's opinion. And I've discussed this with two representatives of the Ohio Attorney General's office, Tom Winters, who is new Attorney General Mark Dan's first deputy, and David Fierst from the Hamilton County Regional Office of the Attorney General. Roger indicated that this may well end up being the course that Mr. Piper takes, and the Ohio Attorney General representatives indicated that they could respond to a request for an opinion within approximately 1 month if they are asked. And as you know, the prosecutor has to ask to get an Attorney General opinion. Suffice it to say that while lawyers often come to different conclusions on problems that are not answered by controlling case law, four lawyers independent of my firm have all indicated that these are legitimate questions that should be answered. I have enclosed the 2003 levy language in my most recent email from Roger Gates on this subject, and Roger and I spoke by phone last week and indicated that they would continue to pursue it and research it, and if necessary, seek an attorney general's opinion. But this is important. You all know that the psychology of a levy is such that if you can call it a renewal or a replacement, you have a much better chance of getting it passed than if you cannot. In any case, retaining an independent board has great value as applied to passage of any tax levy, as the board provides a ready constituency of public advocates for levy passage. This was certainly true when Pastor Johnny Sloan spearheaded the last levy campaign in 2003. Who provides this leadership, who provides this volunteer effort, if the agency is merged into Butler County Job and Family Services? There seems to be a belief that a merger will have a positive impact on these basic areas, but it will not. And at this point, with your indulgence, I would like to call upon Board Member Maurice Maxwell, who will continue the presentation. And when he's done, I will introduce the next board member that participates. Thank you.
Morning. Morning. Administrator Derek Conklin, Commissioner Gary Jolivet, in the absence of Michael Fox, we certainly are with him in his hospital stay. And you, Charles Furman, we as a board, and I personally thank you for the opportunity to speak this morning. My part of this particular presentation will talk about the strengths and believed weaknesses of the merger. This board believes that the current board structure is the best and most appropriate structure to oversee the operations of an agency that interacts and significantly impacts the lives of thousands of Butler County families each year. Why do we think this is the best structure? There are 7 points we'd like to make. Community oversight is the first. The current board structure provides up to 14 volunteers appointed by the commissioners. This board is responsible for managing the director and overseeing the operations of the agency. If community involvement and oversight is a paramount concern, then the current board structure is by far the best solution. Oversight by 14 citizens. What mechanisms for improving external oversight are included in a merger with Jobs and Family Services? A community advisory panel has been recommended. However, an advisory panel is just that. It advises but has no power to enact or enforce. The next point is with respect to organizational involvement. As it is the heart of oversight, as it rests in participation, board members chair each of 5 subcommittees responsible for the day-to-day operations of the agency. The subcommittees are personnel, finance, quality improvement, policy, and technology. Each board member meets at least monthly with agency staff to approve and provide input on day-to-day operations. Merger with Job and Family Services will not provide this level of oversight or involvement. Who will oversee Jobs and Family Services? Does the county administrator, the county commissioners have time to provide this kind of oversight with all their other responsibilities? And if there is no independent board and only a county manager and three elected commissioners providing oversight, then how do the commissioners respond when the media alleges that decisions were made purely political reasons? Say what you will about the Butler County Children's Services Board, but no one can say its decisions have had any partisan political motivation. Already, we have seen political considerations begin to surface as the commissioners contemplate taking over the board. For example, on April 5th, the commissioners issued a directive to the Butler County Children's Services Board to take no action with respect to hiring, firing, or disciplining any employees pending the transition. The Butler County Prosecutor's letter dated April 10th, 2007, page 10, footnote 11, warned that the commission lacks the authority to issue such directive, and that such a suspension of the Children's Services Board's functions could materially disrupt the ability of the Public Children's Services Agency to timely deliver needed services to the protection, at least for the protection of children, and may be contrary to the public interest and the best interests of the children and families served by the agency. If this is the kind of interference that is going to happen before any redesignation, one can only imagine what sort of interference could occur once there is no longer an independent board in place. The next point is with respect to flexibility. With the board as an authority, Butler County Children's Services has the most organizational flexibility possible in the public sector, allowing the agency to function much like a business. For example, the agency has more flexibility in job creation, allowing the agency to respond to changing trends and best practices. It minimizes complication from state civil service as administered by the state DAS, that is Department of Administrative Services, because at present, the Butler County Children's Services Board can write its own job descriptions, but if the agency is merged with the Butler County Jobs and Family Services, Butler County Jobs and Family Services must allow the state civil service requirements as required by the state DSA. In contracting, the board structure provides the authority and autonomy to develop a contracting process tailored to purchasing services. This also translates into better fiscal oversight. The commission is considering redesignation, and the task force recommended merging Children's Services with Jobs and Family Services. However, according to PCSAL, there are several potential disadvantages in this recommendation. Cost. Combining Butler County Children's Services with Jobs and Family Services could result in cost savings, but there is the possibility of losing federal funding. The possible cost saving lies in reducing administrative duplication. Although duplication can be eliminated, staff size for a combined agency would double. Ultimately, cost savings from duplication is typically minimal, if any. There could be a significant cost to combine a public child protection agency into a state-administered civil service pay grade system. The two systems have different pay scales, a merger in Fairfield County. In the mid-90s, cost the county approximately $3,500 per employee because pay scales had to be adjusted. Federal funding could actually decrease if the agencies are merged. One such reduction could occur in the Title IV e-funding random moment samples. This is a funding mechanism based on the activities workers engage in at a specific time. The Ohio Department of Jobs and Family Services sends out a fixed number of random requests that receives funding based upon those activities. According to PCSAO, spending analysis has shown that standalone agencies receive significantly higher reimbursements than combined agencies. A final consideration on cost savings is that the Butler County Jobs and Family Services and the Butler County Children's Services are now served by two different unions. It will be a challenge reconciling the different benefits and salaries in these two different collective bargaining packages under a unified agency. Our next point is community involvement. With redesignation, all persons involved in overseeing the agency will be on the taxpayer payroll. There will be no civilian input or oversight with actual authority to make changes in budgets, policies, or practices. Remember, advisory panels have no authority to make changes. With respect to accountability, the proposed redesignation and merger, the commissioners will assume direct responsibility for the agency, any progress, and any tragedy. That public accountability and intense scrutiny we spoke of earlier will be directed specifically at the commissioners. In closing, the final point that I'd like to make is with respect to meaningful reform. The real path toward making the system better for children and families has been lost in the midst of a very public and bitter battle. The experts, the Ohio Department of Jobs and Family Services, and Detective Ritten developed informed recommendations that can make a difference. That can make children safer. Those have taken a back seat. None of the experts recommended redesignation or merger. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next presenter is the current board chair, Ms. Frankie Carlson. She will address the matters pertaining to the current composition of the board. I want to make three very quick points, though, to underscore something that Maurice said. The idea that there will be significant cost savings from merging these two agencies sounds good on its face, but it doesn't always work out that way. Commissioner Jolivet, you remember when Governor Taft merged two major state agencies together to create ODJFS. And I hope you also remembered that several years into that experience, we found that not one single position had been eliminated, that there had been no savings, that in fact there was a multi-$100 million expense to the state in combining their computer systems, and all of those things that sounded good on paper didn't turn out that way. Second, the point about collective bargaining agreements. Even the task force recommended in their report and recognized in their report that that was going to be an issue, trying to reconcile two different unions, two different collective bargaining agreements. That can take time. That can be very bumpy and very contentious. And third, the PCSAO, Public Children's Services Association of Ohio, it's in your appendix, has a very fair, because they represent both combined agencies and independent agencies, a very fair a summary of the strengths and weaknesses of each. And one of the things to keep in mind is the possibility of losing federal funding under this specific random moment sampling device that has helped Butler County Children's Services Board to get more money than it would likely get if it was a combined agency. With that, I turn it over to our board chairman, Frankie Carlson. Ms. Carlson.
Good morning.
Morning, Frankie. I'd like to tell you, if you will permit me, about this board and what has been created that this board is, excuse me, let me start again. Let me tell you about this board. An impression has been created that this board is an inactive, rubber stamp group of disinterested individuals. Although that may have been true of previous boards, nothing could be further from the truth. It is important that the commissioners and the public remember that this board are all volunteers. Most of us were asked to serve and appointed by Commissioner Fox. We stepped up because we all believe it is what you do to improve your community. As you'll see, we are highly qualified professionals who, instead of being treated as members of a legitimate organization within Butler County government, were attacked personally and professionally. Speaking from experience, previous boards were unorganized, unprofessional, and chaotic. Let me tell you a little about the current board members. We have Dr. William Fye, who has been a resident of Butler County for more than 30 years. A practicing pediatric dentist since 1972, Dr. Fye has been a Children's Services board member for 7 years. He has been an assistant professor and clinical instructor of pediatric dentistry since 1975, teaching for leading Ohio colleges such as the University of Cincinnati and Ohio State University. He has served and held offices for various boards in both Butler County and in Dayton, including Butler Health Plan, Dayton Area Health Plan, Butler County Board of Mental Retardation and Developmental Disabilities, and the Butler County Dental Project. Dr. Fye has devoted his life to the health care of children and has a desire to see that all Butler County children are safe. Our past chairman of the board, Reverend Johnny Wade Sloan, has served as an Ohio pastor for 32 years, 12 in Lorain County and 20 in Butler County. He has been a lifelong advocate for children and families and is a frequent conference speaker. He holds a master's degree in Christian theology and has been awarded 2 doctoral degrees. He is a board member for the Child Welfare League of America, the premier child advocacy organization in Washington, D.C. He has served VCCSB's board of directors for 12 years, 8 of them as chairman. Maurice Maxwell, who you have just met, has been a board member since 2003. As executive director of Family Services of Middletown, he has served thousands of children and families for more than 20 years. Over the years, he has orchestrated family service programming that is tailor-made for the residents of the Middletown community and surrounding areas. In addition, he has worked collaboratively with most agencies in the county, including CSB, in an effort to provide badly needed services to families in need. Mr. Maxwell holds a bachelor's and a master's degree in social work and a master's degree in community planning and management. He has served on more than 15 boards in his career as director. Sharon Nelson has a degree from Miami University in political science and is a registered nurse. She has worked in the emergency units of Miami Valley Hospital in Dayton and Bethesda North Hospital in Cincinnati. She spent 4 years working in a private urology practice and served several years as a school nurse for both Mason and Lakota school systems. She also helped launch the Bethesda Warren County Emergency Treatment Center. She has been a Butler County resident since 1972 and an active community volunteer for local sports organizations, schools, churches, and lay ministries. She's been a member of the Butler County Children's Services Board of Directors since 2003. The opportunity to further serve my community on the Board of Children's Services was one I eagerly accepted in spite of the prior negative publicity. A quote from Ms. Nelson. Susan Noonan has lived in Butler County for over 30 years, raising 2 sons, and for the last 11 years, 2 granddaughters, of whom she was awarded custody by the Butler County Juvenile Court. She holds a bachelor degree of science in psychology and a master of science degree in criminal justice. Ms. Noonan has taught for the University of Cincinnati Criminal Justice Department and worked as director of police community relations as well as acting executive director of the Cincinnati Human Relations Committee for 12 years. During this time, she has worked with at-risk youth, law enforcement, low-income communities, and persons with physical and mental disabilities. Ms. Noonan started SBN Consulting in 2000, providing community relations and government affairs consulting. She has served on the Butler County Children's Service Board since 2002, as well as many other boards, including the Mental Health Association of Greater Cincinnati, Mental Health Board of Butler County, Ohio Crime Prevention Association, Ohio Brain Injury Advisory Council, Regional Community Policing Institute, Women's City Club, and is presently chair of the Greater Cincinnati Sports Corporation. Her life's work has been dedicated to helping people in need. And that leaves myself. I feel dwarfed by the qualifications of the other members of this board. I am the current chair and board member since I think it was the end of 2000. I hold a bachelor's degree in education, taught elementary school in Washington State, Ohio, Florida, and California. I retired from the Red Cross, and I'm currently on the Middletown Planning Commission, Historical Review Board, and Architectural Review Board. I am the immediate past president of the Middletown Area Republican Club and was the first female officer of the Middletown Elks Lodge. And I was a member of the Middletown School District Curriculum Review Board. This board is not opposed to change, and we welcome suggestions for improvement. But we firmly believe that the current governance structure, having the agenda overseen by a group of appointed citizens, is best for Butler County. We believe that this structure can be improved and are recommending those improvements in this presentation. We believe this reasoned, well-thought-out approach toward change would be much more productive than the historical, all-or-nothing, scorched-earth approach to change. That approach has been tried before, and it has not been successful. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Brandy.
Thank you. I think you would see from that description of the current board members that these are well-qualified people, good civic activists with an impressive record of achievement in civic life. And the question for you is, why would you want to throw all that out by disbanding this board and putting it into the control of the county's welfare bureaucracy? But they may be qualified, but what have they accomplished? And it is to that question that we now turn as we call on our board member, Susan Noonan, and then later, Sharon Nelson. They're going to divide a section on what this board has accomplished in the last 3 years. And this is really the nub of the matter, and this is what has not gotten any kind of fair publicity. But I think you'll be impressed when you hear what the actual record is. Susan.
Thank you, Bill. Morning, Derek.
Good morning.
Commissioner Jolivet and Commissioner Furman. Thank you for allowing us this time to try to make this a more balanced approach to looking at children's services. Because of the tragic death, the horrible death of Marcus Faisal, an impression or almost an alternate reality, as someone I know well said, has been created that the board and the services it provides are below standard. In fact, the chairman of the task force said it was a mess. That is simply not true. And Commissioner Jolivet, you've been up there with me a couple of times and you've seen that personally. The facts tell a story of performance and accomplishment that outpace most other counties in the state. For details, please look at the attachments. We implore you to look at some of the information that we've given you. You know, don't just put it aside. I know it's a lot to read. We want to focus on three areas of accomplishment. First, the improvements that have a direct and immediate impact on children and families. Second, the achievements in meeting federal and state standards, which directly impact our funding. And third, implementation of the recommendations from the various audits and reviews. conducted over the past 7 years, and there have been a lot. First, the improvements in the lives of children and family. The most important numbers are the ones that demonstrate a direct and immediate impact on children and families, as we all agree. According to, again, the PCSAO, but which is a very respected organization, their fact book 2007-8 said that in the years from 2003 to 2005, which are the last years for which they have complete figures, A, Butler County increased the number of children that are reunited with their families by 11.1%. Butler County ranks second only among the other metro counties in the state. The preliminary data for 2006 shows an increase of 15.5%, so we have improved over the last year. B, we've decreased the number of days that a child spends in a foster home or other form of placement by 58.75%, cutting the time more than in half, leading all the metro counties in the state. Those are not figures that can just be dismissed. And C, we've decreased the amount of time it takes to finalize an adoption by 38.1%. And again, we lead all metro counties in the state. We could not have done that without collaboration from juvenile court and without the staff that we have. Next, we've opened a Middletown office in a county without any public transportation, where more than 40% of the agency's families live with their children. This, of course, made it much easier for families to get services, to visit their kids, to talk with caseworkers. And next, we have opened the Family Connections, and I hope you've all been up there, I know Greg has, a visitation center that serves as a national model for best practice. That is in the Appendix 3A if you want any more details on that. Next, the Protect Ohio Waiver Project recently released data evaluating the progress of 31 counties. The data compiled by the project's consulting firm, Westat, which by the way is a nationally respected firm, showed that over the past 10 years, Butler County Children's Services has accomplished some very nice, very, very worthwhile things. We're talking about reductions, and I encourage you to look at the chart that is right after what I'm going to say. It might be easier to understand what I'm saying. We've reduced placement of children by 27%, and again, this is a 10-year project. We've reduced children in permanent custody. In other words, the parents' rights have been terminated by 37%. So we've reduced permanent custody by 37%. It's not easy to look at all these figures, I know, but we implore you to really read these carefully. We've reduced children in long-term foster care by 68%, and that is pretty amazing. We've reduced children in care more than 2 years by 50%, more than half. And we've reduced the total number of placement days by 35%. The data table shows a 10-year comparison with the six demographically similar counties, and of these six counties, Lorain did the best. But Butler County came in a very strong second, even though we did not have the financial flexibility of the counties who participated in the Project Ohio Waiver Project, which allows funds to be given upfront rather than just reimbursed. So it allows for a lot more flexibility in spending. Butler County, for some reason, did not sign up when it was offered during the mid-90s. I know if Director Hefner was here, we would have been a part of that. It is also important to note that the number one rated county, Lorain County, is operated by an independent board, as Bill said, with the distinct advantage of financial flexibility to make improvements, and yet Butler County comes in a close second without the financial flexibility of the Ohio Waiver Project. This is another example of where looking at the facts gives you the real picture. We're doing what we said we'd do. We're keeping the kids at home. We're cutting down days in out-of-home care, and we're decreasing the length of time a child spends away from home. And that's what we all want to accomplish. So I thank you for your time, and I implore you to please, please look at these figures closely and understand that there is truly another side. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. It's obvious that on comparisons to Peer County, the Butler County Children's Services Board has performed pretty well. And it's also significant that the number one rated county in the state is also run by an independent board. So you have the number one and number two metro county, that means suburban county, that are run by independent boards, and they are doing the best according to these measurements that we've included in the appendices. But now let's talk with Board Member Sharon Nelson a little bit about the board's achievements in meeting federal and state standards, which directly impact funding, and about their progress on responding to all the reviews and audits that have been conducted on their operations over the last 7 years. And with that, I introduce Board Member Sharon Nelson.
Thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to talk to you. Regarding our achievements in meeting federal and state standards which directly impact funding, under the current governance structure, the board consistently achieves or is on par with other counties in the state on state and federal performance measures, and this has a critical impact on funding. In 2006, Butler County exceeded the federal standard for the number of placements or moves a child experiences in foster care, reunifying children with their parents within 1 year of removal, adoption finalizations within 24 months. And for those 2006 federal outcome measures, they use the acronym CEPO. There's an appendix that you can look at that. Implementation of recommendations from various audits and reviews over the past 7 years. The agency has made tremendous progress on implementing previous recommendations from audits and performance reviews. The report included in the appendix summarizes the agency's progress on every recommendation from the 2000 performance audit by Jim Petro, Auditor of State, the 2000 Osborne report titled Butler County Children and Families Safe and Successful, the 2006 Wexler report titled Second Chance, a Blueprint for Real Reform in Butler County, and the 2006 Detective Redden report. A total of 118 individual recommendations were made in these four reports. 99 were applicable to BCCSB, and the remaining 19 recommendations must be enacted by either federal, state, or court officials. Of the 99 applicable recommendations, 71 are ongoing and functioning on a daily basis. 25 are completed. 3 are future initiatives. BCCSB's major accomplishments include exceeding the federal standard for the number of moves a child experiences in foster care. The federal standard is 86.7% or less. Butler County has 84% of all the children in foster care experience 2 or fewer placements. The county agency has increased the face-to-face contact caseworkers have with clients by increasing the required visits. And this is a critical component of what they call best practice. We've decreased the employee turnover from 23% in 2004 to 16% in 2006. Butler County is the fourth agency and the first metro county to convert to SACWIS, which is the statewide child protection management system, the computerized system. This will significantly improve caseworker productivity and data tracking. We launched the Butler County website in 2002 and significantly enhanced and restructured the site in 2006. Completing the agency's strategic plan in 2003-2004 with updates every year, and the plan is fully integrated into the budget and performance measures. And I might add on that before Jan Hefner took over the agency, there had been no strategic plan at all. So she implemented the plan and have been moving forward ever since. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Sharon. I think that's pretty significant, too, that you inventory 99 recommendations coming from 4 different reports over 7 years, 99 that they could do. And of that number, they've either completed or they are implementing and getting moving with all but 3. 96 out of 99, which is an A where I come from and where I went to school. So what does the Hamilton paper talk about this morning? What does Commissioner Fox talk about this morning? 3. 3 things that haven't been done. Nothing about they didn't recognize the 96 of 99 that have been done or are ongoing. He wants to talk about 3. We don't think that presents an accurate picture of what the agency has done. And now I want to call on Dr. Bill Fye, who will give a presentation on the task force, and at some point in his presentation, he will introduce a professor from the University of Cincinnati to give a few comments on the survey. Dr. Fye.
Thank you, Bill. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Please excuse my nervousness. As a dentist, I'm used to working with people that are nervous. However, this is a new feeling for me. As you know, I'm Dr. William Fye. I've been a, pardon me, I've been a resident of Butler County for 30 years. I was asked to be on the board by Commissioner Fox. I presently serve as the vice chair and the chairman of our policy committee. My initial experiences with the board were less than desirable. Meetings were chaotic, long, and disorganized. Changes in the agency leadership and board leadership were definitely needed and certainly welcomed. Commissioner Fox found us Jan Heffner. The board stabilized, and progress that you've already heard about has been made. Regardless of the public, of what the public has been led to believe, our board is not full of unthinking individuals that make reckless decisions. We recognize the responsibility we have to the citizens of Butler County and place the care and safety of children first and foremost. We also recognize that we operate in a political environment. With the guidance and actual physical assistance of Michael Fox, many of the reforms have been made in the way Children's Services conducted a difficult business of protecting children and serving families in trouble. Perhaps the creation of an agency ombudsman is the finest example of this form of reforms. Try to imagine our confusion when a task force was announced for the purpose of investigating the agency. The composition of the task force was our first clue to their motive. In our judgment, only one member of the task force had the credentials and ability to successfully judge a child protective agency. We had members that were there for personal reasons. We have members that were there for obvious advantages to the change of the governance structure. Further insight into the way the task force would operate came from statements such as, "I will meet secretly and privately with anyone that has anything bad to say about this agency." Meeting in secrecy to discuss accusations about the agency's proposed culture of secrecy makes absolutely no sense to me at all. Taking and being influenced by anonymous testimony is, in my opinion, wrong. Careful examination of the minutes of the task force meeting show that there was a development of leading questions that were to be asked of biased individuals and contract providers. As a board, we had little doubt about the outcome of this supposed independent review. At the same time, as you know, in our small county, word gets around. We were hearing things from our commissioners. Things such as, "It's unfortunate but true, there must be a scapegoat. Get rid of her as soon as possible. A consulting contract is okay with me. Don't do anything until the task force completes its report, then I can make the decision. Get out of the way and let us pick up the pieces. Doesn't she know that the train has left the station? It's over for the board. We will be happy to give you the 2 full hours to reply, but we certainly hope it doesn't take 2 hours. And finally, why does the board even want to make a presentation? Well, I'll tell you why, and it's the same thing I tell my wife when she says, "Why do you want to put up with this relentless media attacks?" It's because we owe the citizens of Butler County to reveal our side of the story. The remaining members of the board are the finest people I've ever had the privilege to be associated with. I'm sure that we are friends for life. We have no hidden agendas. We are not motivated by anything more than a deep concern for the safety of children of this county. We have been accused of being a cult and as cheerleaders. Well, we think we have something to cheer about, as you've already seen. One commissioner has been quoted as saying, "It's time to drain the swamp." This is a true insult to the members of this board. The swamp was drained when Commissioner Fox found us Jen Hefner. Despite assertions to the contrary, the agency fully cooperated with the task force and the various consultants. In fact, the agency estimates that more than 5,000 hours were spent preparing reports, giving interviews, and et cetera. This is estimated to have cost the taxpayers more than $158,000. And that's just the cost to Butler County Children's Services Board. So that the cost of this task force cost the taxpayers of this county more than $158,000, quite a bit more. In some cases, the task force recommendations are not wrong, and we'll point those out to you. However, in most cases, the facts will show that the task force conclusions were incorrect, unfortunately based on erroneous information, and it is unfortunate but true that the task force approached this project in a punitive and adversarial fashion. The agency was willing to work with the task force completely to provide a productive and accurate roadmap for changes, but it had to be based on accurate information. So let's look at specific points. Despite the assertions to the contrary, the agency did everything possible to cooperate with the task force in conducting surveys. We provided input as requested. It was rejected by Task Force Chairman Dan Hare, and I quote, "As a task force chair, I reject the changes submitted by the agency. This is the task force survey, not the survey of Butler County Children's Services Board." The board has concerns and still has concerns about the validity of the survey, so we hired an expert to give us our opinion. I would like to take this opportunity to introduce our expert, a professor from the University of Cincinnati, who will introduce himself and give you an explanation of the survey results. Professor.
Good morning. For the record, I'm Surush Zandvakili. I'm interim director of Applied Economic Research Institute at the University of Cincinnati and professor of economics. My backgrounds are both public economics as well as labor economics, and I have expertise in research methodology. I understand that you have an important decision at hand, mergers of two organizations. My comments will be limited to reliability of the survey that was conducted by the request of the task force. I have reviewed the survey instrument with care. I have never had any form of association with the Butler County Child Services Board. As a matter of fact, I have not even met any of the board members or the executive director. We were approached with the problem at hand. They told us to provide independent opinion of a survey which was to be conducted by Fountain Works. The bottom line is basically the following. The results are unreliable, and I'm willing to stand by this is a strong statement. They are unreliable because of four major sources of error. There's measurement error, there's coverage error, there's sampling error, there's non-response error. Any form of survey you do, you're bound to have some error and you try to minimize them. Very seldom you're going to have a situation where all sources of potential sources of error are present. This is that weak of a survey instrument. Fountain Work is very well aware of the problem, and my evidence is basically the following. On, I believe, January 12, the task force sent a memorandum to all Butler County Child Services Board employees stating, "The task force appreciates those employees who took time from their busy schedule to complete the customer satisfaction survey. However, we fell short of our goal regarding employee participation. We had 98 employees complete the survey, and it was our target to have all employees participate. All employees. This is not a random sample. Either everyone participates or the results are not valid. Okay? And they go further down. They say, it is vital, underlined, that we get full participation from staff, underlined. It's not that Fountain Work doesn't know that these results are not valid. If they knew that they can get away with 98 surveys, they would have never sent this memo. So I would like to express a word of caution. If you are to basically use any of the results and what they have provided you on February 22nd, a word of caution that the information documented in here in percentages, no statistical testing whatsoever. There are no hypotheses that are tested, none whatsoever. And it is unfortunate. You know, I do not know how much money you guys have spent or the county has spent on this report. But my professional opinion is that the results in here are not worth in the paper it's written for. So I caution you with respect to this important decision. Maybe at the end of the day, the merger is the right thing for this county. The results of this survey should not be the basis of that decision. That is the bottom line. And I will be more than happy to meet with Fountain Work. We sit down, we lay everything on the table, and let the chips fall where they may. Because this is, at best, the weakest report that I've ever seen in 19 years of doing scientific work. This is the one of the weakest one. As a matter of fact, if you review my letter of, I believe it was January 23rd, and I tried to be as kind as I can to the survey. I said the quality of the survey instrument is below acceptable professional standard. And I've done plenty of this type of work for the Kroger Company, Talbert House, Core Behavioral Services. You know, this is not the quality of work necessary that justifies using it to make such an important decision. I'm amazed that the task force has not objected to providing percentages, and based on these percentages, provide in their key findings vocabulary such as belief, notable numbers, too many chiefs and Indians. This is a scientific report that you're going to basically base your important decision regarding merger. I have serious difficulty professionally. So, and more importantly, what is ahead of you is really what is the right method to take. And I've indicated the best approach is to have a retreat to bring all the stakeholders forward for 2, 3, 4 days, get all the problems. I'm not here to suggest that the board does not have problems. They may very well do. It needs to come forward, and the people who are involved, they need to rally behind those problems and initiate solutions so they take ownership of the problem so something positive can come out. Nothing positive is going to come out. This will divide. This will not unite the county. You need a board that community embraces and a board that embraces the community. I don't see it in here. And I'm not here to take side in one way or another. All I'm saying is that I think this county needs to take a pause, take a step back, and say, okay, let's bring all the stakeholders forward. The board, the citizens of the county, the individuals who involved in the administration of the county, to better understand the dimensions of the problem, if any, so this board can move forward. Because health and safety of the kids who cannot defend themselves is at stake. I mean, the stakes are very, very, very high. And I understand that, you know, and I appreciate everyone is well-intended, but this is not the route to go. And in our backyard, at Ohio State, at Miami, at Cincinnati, we have very qualified individuals who can do darn good work. You can go to Institute of Policy Research, and you can get far better quality work than I see in here. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Whether or not you share our concerns with the survey is up to you. But I would hope you would realize that all the survey showed about Butler County Children's Services, the Butler County Commissioners fared even worse. More than 70% of the responding employees believe that the commissioners do not support or understand the agency. By comparison, 67% of the responding employees believe the agency has not fallen short in meeting their promises. If you choose to base your decision on the survey, then redesignating our agency to Butler County Children, Jobs and Family Services would result in control by the commissioners, to whom only 70% of our employees believe understands this agency. Number two, the performance appraisals of management should be conducted on a timely basis. This is a valid point. In the future, the board will insist upon and review in committee yearly performance evaluations of managers. The board will continue to conduct a yearly review of the executive director and set goals and objectives. Number three, caseloads in the division, ongoing division, are too high, but not materially higher than in other counties. The average caseload in the past 6 months has been 18. This is a true average, taking into account the major issues that impact caseload sizes. Number one, new caseworkers. New caseworkers do not take a 100% immediate full caseload. Maternity and paternity leaves, these create short-term overloads for some of our staff. And turnover, it takes time to recruit and hire and train new workers. However, the turnover rate of this agency is below state and national averages. Caseloads are not unique to this agency, as I said before. Examples of caseloads of similar and surrounding counties are Hamilton County, 17, Claremont County, 16, Cuyahoga County, 15. These are all combined children's services agency. Lake County, 17, Lucas County, 16, and Mahoning County, 15. Those are independent. These numbers clearly illustrate that merging Butler County Children's Services with Jobs and Family Services will not guarantee better caseloads sizes. Caseload sizes and other statistics are reviewed monthly by the agency's Quality Improvement Committee and reported to the board each month. The board consulted with the agency's highly professional human resources department and the executive staff regarding caseload sizes. The agency has created additional units and has had personnel shifts to address caseload issues. The fourth point, contracting process needs to be improved. The agency is improving its contract process. For the first time, contractors are required to compete for our business, demonstrate positive outcomes for contracted services, and agree to basic insurance and indemnification clauses. Improving contract is a process. Reform takes time. Many existing contracts are ongoing, and many of our valuable contract providers must make gradual changes and to fully comply with our new agency requirements. There are no longer blank checks written by Butler County Children's Services for contract services. We require results. Some providers are unhappy with these changes. Some have resisted and complained. Our plan and progress toward improving the contract process is an example of the agency and the boards acting financially responsible. Even though there is some resistance to these improvements, they are necessary to ensure Butler County taxpayers receive quality service for the dollars spent. In addition, the Butler County prosecutor has reviewed and an additional standard contract language. We do recognize, however, that monitoring the contract process is a problem. The board, any agency, proposed to contract with an expert in developing a compliance tool, conduct appliance office audits, and to train the staff. We do hope you realize that more folks put on the contracting process and monitoring, the more will be the non-caseload-bearing staff. In other words, the task force recommendations to improve contract monitoring process is at odds with the task force recommendation to cut the number of non-casework staff. Number five, back to caseloads. Intake caseloads are too high. Caseloads in intake are actually below the recommended level. For the past 6 months, average caseloads have been 9.5 cases. This is a true average. The calculations do not include new workers or workers on leave. The Public Children's Services Association of Ohio recommends caseloads in intake of 12. The average intake caseload for metro counties across the county, across the state rather, is slightly over 11%, or 11 cases. The Children's Services Board is well below the state averages. Caseload, again, I'll emphasize, caseload sizes are reviewed each month by our Quality Assurance Committee, presented to the board. Adjustments in personnel and assignments have been made after recommendations from our highly professional HR department. The sixth point, Butler County Children's Services is top-heavy. According to the preliminary survey conducted by the Human Resources Committee of the PCSAO, Butler County has the lowest percentage of non-casework staff of all metro counties in the state. This is located in your Appendix 4E. The study shows that Butler County administrators, these are non-casework, percentage is 36%, far lower than Lorain, which is 51%. Summit's is at 58%. Mahoning's is at 62%. We are using this study to show that it's the only, because it provides the only apples-to-apples comparison of counties. Even the consultant hired by the task force acknowledged some limitations in their conclusions. And I quote, "It was difficult to draw comparisons to peer agencies given different organizational structures and job titles." This study compares casework staff to total staff in all counties. The false implication that we have too much management was created. This is not true, and continuing statements from the board is top-heavy is absolutely and totally wrong. Number seven, the agency does not utilize, does not utilize properly kinship care. This is wrong. The Bernstein Company, the consultant hired by the commissioners, did not gather accurate facts regarding this kinship care. Butler County Children's Services, like many other metro counties, does not usually take custody of people of children placed with relatives. As a result, kinship care placements are tracked differently. Kinship cares placements are tracked separately from other out-of-home placements. The consultant usually only used out-of-home placement numbers, and as a result, excluded 269 children from the analysis. Any further statements that the agency underutilizes kinship care is absolutely wrong. Here are the facts. Almost 41% of all the children in out-of-home placement are placed with relatives. In 2006, this was 269 children. The agency ranks second among all metro counties in the state for kinship care placements. The agency administers and operates a financial assistance program for kinship care providers. That program received 90 applications in 2006 and distributed more than $46,500 in funds. So far, 159 kinship care home studies have been approved. Number eight, the agency and its employees. The agency does not have an employee relations problem. This is not. This is factual. The argument is, this is an argument raised by a few. A way to evaluate employee relationships is to look at turnover rate, absentee rate, and grievances filed. Here are the facts. Union grievances. In 2007, we've had one filed. In 2006, there was less than three. Excuse me, three or less. In the last 7 years, there's been only one arbitration case. Union membership has dropped significantly over the past few years and now hovers right around 50%, and has been corrected to 53% at our last count, according to our HR department. Staff turnover, 2007, the rate was 8%. 2008, the rate was 16%, which was the state average. And in 2005, staff turnover was 21%. The state average at that time was 30. Absenteeism, our absenteeism rate averages between 1.5% and 2%, one of the lowest in the county. The agency offers the following benefits: flex time and the option of a 4-day work week, additional vacation, tuition reimbursement, generous health, and gratefully, dental insurance packages. If you look at the surrounding children's protective agencies, Hamilton, Claremont, Warren, and Montgomery, they have standing positions for caseworkers. Our caseworkers could easily find employment. Look at the employment facts. It shows the agency has strong employee relations. We believe we have a fine staff of employees that do a difficult job in a very professional manner. Number nine, the agency does not have a three-year strategic plan that has been monitored. Well, the plan is attached. It's precise, accurate, helpful, and guides the agency the progress, and is the instrument of implementing the agency quality improvement. Number 10, the agency does not have a positive and productive relationship with providers in the surrounding county. Attached, you will find letters of support from the providers of surrounding counties. Here are a few quotes. And I quote, Beach Acres Parenting Center has enjoyed a very professional, competent, and effective relationship with the staff at Butler County Children's Services Board. Presley Ridge wrote, through our partnership with Butler County Children's Services, we have improved the lives of children and families in our community. Parachute, quote, we support the work done by Butler County Children's Services Board. TIP has had and continues to have many successes, none of which were made possible without the support, communication, and coordination with the Butler County Children's Services Board. And finally, Warren County wrote, many children and families have benefited from positive working relationship between our two counties. The 11th assertion is the agency has a culture of secrecy, and our agency does not have a culture of secrecy. The agency is accused of secrecy for a variety of reasons, mostly complying with confidentiality laws. Simply put, just because you think you have some information about a case and you're a public official doesn't mean you have the right to that information. Confidentiality laws are confidential means confidential. There are serious legal concerns, and these are in Appendix 5B. We have attached the recent Ohio appeals courts on this issue. For example, we were accused of not cooperating with the survey because we did not turn over the names of foster and biological parents and children in our system. But we had two illegal opinions, one from Mr. Roger Gates, one from Mr. Seitz. We could not do this. Even so, on short notice and in good faith, we mailed out over 1,000 letters prepared by the surveyor urging these consultants to participate, or urging these constituents to participate in our survey. Simply put, just because someone doesn't like a law doesn't mean the agency can or should break the law.